Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday Rewind here at Believers Church. We are going to take another look back at Genesis chapter 20, and that was the chapter that I went through with you guys on Sunday. I'm hoping that tonight we can see just what does this chapter, this kind of odd chapter, mean for you and I in our real lives. So just a quick synopsis of what this chapter is all about. Here we see Abraham traveling. He's traveling again, and he fears for his own life, for his own safety. For whatever reason, we're not really sure, he understands and he knows that his wife will be desirable to those that he encounters. So he decides to deceive everyone that he comes in contact with and lie to them and say that his wife Sarah is actually his sister. The king that he encounters, this king Abimelech, believes Abraham when he lies to him because he had no reason not to. And we see that this could have had terrible consequences, not just for Sarah, not just for Abraham, but for Abimelech and for his whole nation. And ultimately, it could have had bad consequences for all of humanity if it had interfered with God's promise of all the nations being blessed through Abraham and through his children. So understandably here, Abimelech's not very happy. This king was lied to and he's not pleased about it, so he confronts Abraham. This pagan king, this king who really had no reason to expect to fear God and have faith in God, appears to display more fear, more faith in God than Abraham did. Now, the good news for everyone who's involved, and that includes you and I, is that although Abraham displayed great faithlessness here, he did not show faith in God. He proves himself to be very unfaithful, but God here proves himself to be faithful. God intervenes. And Genesis 20 is kind of a confusing chapter for a lot of people, because in it, we see a man that's famous for his faith, and yet he seems to be living without any of that faith that he's famous for. If you remember on Sunday, I brought our attention to the question that was asked of him. Abimelech says, "What did you have in your view?" He says, what were you looking at? What was on your mind? What were you thinking that you would do such a thing? Why did you do this? And Abraham's response is a telling one. We can see clearly that God was not on his mind, that he wasn't thinking about God, he wasn't focused about God, but that instead he was thinking about himself. So that's the big idea tonight. He takes his eyes off of God. He takes his mind off of God. He stops considering God. And then this allows Abraham's faith to waver. This causes Abraham's faith to really diminish and really seems to make it so that in this chapter, Abraham lives a life with no faith at all. And that just makes sense. If you're going to take your focus away from God, you begin to forget about God. You begin not to trust God. And in turn, you begin to disobey him, not follow him. So the question for us tonight is, what does this look like? What does it look like when we choose to ignore God? When we choose to live a life not with faith in God, but instead faithlessness towards God? Not trusting God. And I have kind of seven different things that we're going to see are true of Abraham in this chapter when he had a lack of faith in God. The very first thing that we see is that if we're going to not put our faith in God, if we're going to not trust in God, well, then we're going to have to trust in something else, right? This is pretty obvious. You will live your life trusting in something. One thing or another, you're going to trust in it. For Abraham, when he didn't trust in God, just like for many of us, that something else other than God was himself. He started to think that his own ingenuity, his own plans, his own schemes would be enough for him to take care of himself, that he could protect himself with his own ideas. Now, God had made it really clear, very clear, that he was actually the one to provide safety for Abraham. Just a few chapters earlier, God said, "I'll be your shield, I'll protect you, I'll be with you, I'll take care of you." And here we see Abraham's thinking, "Well, no, God, I can't really trust you in that. I can't believe that you'll do that. So I'm going to just have to do this myself." So he takes on that responsibility for himself. For us, we see this when we kind of lean into legalism. we start to think that we can earn favor from God with our own accomplishments, as if our own efforts will somehow fix us. We see this when we make maybe our jobs, our career, our own plans, and our own desires into our gods, looking for those things to give us what it is that we need. We see this when we even rely on our own strength and on our own understanding in our obedience to God. When we think, yeah, I'm going to obey God, I'm going to do what he says, but I'm going to do it my way, I'm going to do it with my own strength, I'm going to do it with what I have to offer. So instead of trusting in the God that he should have been trusting in, he starts to trust in himself. Number two, we see that there's really no real growth as a Christian. So if you're going to live a life without faith, without trusting God, you are bound to repeat the same sin, the same failures over and over. You're not going to actually move forward in this life that God has for you. Right, if you remember, I said that this sin that we see Abraham doing, this just foolish thing that he does, this isn't the first time. In Genesis chapter 12, he did the same exact thing. In Egypt, he says that, no, this isn't my wife, this is my sister. And we see it has kind of similar negative consequences. And yet here he is, years later, doing the same exact thing. Proverbs 26:11, like a dog that returns to its vomit, so a fool to its folly. Right, that's Abraham, just doing the same failure. It's as if he seems destined to repeat this failure until he actually trusts God, until he actually believes God, until he will actually put his faith in God, as he's so famous for. Seems like some people in the church, they've been around the church for years, they've been supposedly following God for years, and yet they're just constantly spinning their wheels. They never really make any progress, and they never seem to know why, when from the outside, others observe it, and it's clear. These people, they're unwilling to actually obey God, they're unwilling to actually submit to God, they're unwilling to actually trust his plan, so they keep trying to go their own way instead to the same disastrous results. And here's the thing, God very well might allow you to do that. He might let you stay in the exact same place, having the same sins over and over, because you won't listen to the lesson that he's teaching you. You won't actually learn. You won't actually move ahead. But do you want more out of this life? Do you want to actually conquer your sin? Do you want to actually gain ground? Do you want to move forward in God's will? Or are you just content to keep spinning your wheels, going nowhere? That's what you will do if you won't actually trust God. Move forward, trusting him. Number three, when we fail to trust God, when we fail to trust God, when we fail to actually have faith in him, but instead we live faithlessly, we'll find that we let our circumstances get the best of us. Okay, the circumstances around us will become more important to us than God. So Abraham, he enters into this new land, and he was afraid. He was afraid. The circumstances around him, the people around him, the situation that he was in, dictated his actions rather than the God who made him. So when we take our eyes off of God, everything else all of a sudden becomes bigger. We stop looking at God, stop putting our faith in him, then everything around us, the difficult circumstances, the scary circumstances, appear more important, more demanding, and therefore more controlling of us than God. So we start to make our decisions based on how can we improve the circumstances around us? How can I become more comfortable? Christians, we are not to be shoved through life by the winds around us. You know, we're not to be choosing the direction of our life just because of the circumstances around us. No, we're actually to move forward following the lead of God. So the circumstances aren't to get the best of us. We don't sin because we lose a job. We don't abandon God's plan because things don't go our way, because things got hard. We don't avoid what God has for us because it looks kind of scary. And how many Christians totally miss out on God's will? They do not experience the life that God has for them because they're unwilling to take their eyes off of the immediate circumstances around us. And because of that, they're controlled by them. So instead of having faith in God, trusting Him, being led by Him, really, they have faith in the circumstances around them. Their lives are dictated by whatever's happened to them at the moment. Number four, our lack of faith. When we live faithlessly, it will impact those around us. Okay, it's not as if this sin of not trusting God only impacts us. Abraham's distrust of God could have had devastating consequences on his wife Sarah. Okay, that's obvious. This impacted her. But it wasn't just her. It could have impacted Abimelech too. Because Abraham sinned, because Abraham lied, now Abimelech is put in this situation. And Abimelech is king. So if this happens to him, it can hurt his entire nation. Had Abimelech gone forward with the taking of Sarah for himself, it very likely, clearly would have caused the wrath of God to fall upon him and very likely his people. So when we forget God and we don't trust in Him, we forget about His people too, right? We have no concern for how our actions might actually negatively impact those around us. Or the fact that when we actually have faith in God, how it can positively impact those around us. We start to make decisions on what we want, what we think is good, and we just say, who cares about anyone else? We just throw everyone else under the bus because who cares how this impacts them? And how many times do we see that happen? Where people don't trust in God, they're not moving forward with Him, so they abandon the will of God, and they don't care about the people that they're harming as well. They just abandon God's people too. So they abandon the will of God, causing great harm, causing destruction, causing pain on their family. It hurts the church that they claim to love. And they do it seemingly with no concern. Okay, so if you choose to not trust God, you choose to abandon God's will, you choose to do things your own way, you fail to continue trusting in Him, it doesn't just end with you. This can have devastating consequences for someone else. Number five, not only could Abraham's faithfulness impacted other people, right? It could have impacted other people, but it also had the potential to interfere and work against God's plan. Okay, Abraham was promised by God that he would have a son with his wife, Sarah. Promised by God, guaranteed by God. And here he is putting that work of God at risk, in some ways really putting that in jeopardy with the decisions that he's making. So do you really want your lack of faith of God, lack of trust in Him, to cause you to stand in God's way? Okay, if you're a Christian, if you're born again, our desire is to promote God's plan. We want to be on board with God's plan. We want to actually advance His kingdom. But if we're going to trust in ourselves rather than trust in God, instead of advancing God's kingdom, instead of pushing it forward, working in tandem with God to get His will done, we're going to find ourselves instead grabbing it and pulling it back as if we're going to fight against God. Number six, faithless living. When we live faithlessly, it really destroys our witness. It destroys the witness that we should have for those around us. Abraham should have been the example to Abimelech, right? Abraham should have been the example, and yet he wasn't. If anything, Abimelech was the better example. Imagine what Abimelech might have thought, what could have happened if he saw Abraham moving forward in complete trust and dependence upon God. Think of the impact Abraham could have had. But instead, this foreign pagan king is a better representative of God than Abraham. God says that the world should look at Christians and they should see that there's something different, that they should marvel. They see it in how we live. They see it in the goals that we have. God says that they'll see it clearly in the love that we have for one another, that they'll see it in our holiness. Abimelech here has very little reason to be impressed with the God of Abraham. Not by Abraham's actions. Abraham's actions, Abraham's decisions, Abraham's lack of faith does nothing to help Abimelech to see the one true God. So you have to ask yourself, does your life show uncommon faith? Trust in God, trust that gets you noticed, where people see your life and they marvel because they say, there's something different. There's something unique. Or instead, do they see your life and they hear about this supposed faith that you claim to have, and you're just another example of the hypocritical Christian that we know that this world despises. Lastly, number 7. Faithlessness leads to us needing to excuse our own actions. Okay, in verses 11 to 13, Abraham, he makes 3 different ridiculous excuses. Okay, first off, he tries to blame everyone else. He says, well, I didn't think there was any fear of God here, so this is all your fault. This is your country's fault because I didn't think you'd have any fear of God. And then after that, he tries to explain it by distorting the truth. By saying, well, you know, Sarah really is my sister, as if that somehow made up for the heart of deception that he had. And then, as I pointed out on Sunday, he even tries to point the finger and say that this was God's fault, that God caused him to wander, so of course he had to do this. Now, if you're not going to trust in God, if you're not going to put your faith in God, then you're not going to deal with your sins the way that God actually intends. So of course we're going to have to deal with them some way, right? So I guess we'll have to excuse them. We'll try to excuse our way out of them, but it just doesn't work. I mean, God can see through it. The people around us can see through it. So when we sin, and the fact is we will, a faithful individual, one who lives in faith towards God, they own it and they repent of it. A faithless person, they seek to deny it. Now, throughout this chapter, it seems as though Abraham is the main character. So Abraham's the main character. And yeah, he's not a great main character. He gets a lot wrong, but he's the main guy. Or maybe Abimelech. And Abimelech maybe looks like even a better example than Abraham. But I don't think this chapter is primarily about Abraham. It's not showing the difference between Abraham's lack of fear in God and Abimelech, who seemed to have some. No, what we see here is Abraham's great failure, his faithlessness, not in contrast with Abimelech, but instead in contrast with the incredible faithfulness of God. Okay, as I said on Sunday, you and I, we make a real mess of things. This story that we read about Abraham, yeah, it's messy. But you and I, we're just as bad. We're just as guilty. Just as guilty. Thankfully, God doesn't leave us there. Thankfully, God intervenes. 2 Timothy 2:13, when we're faithless, when you and I are faithless, when we live lives not trusting in God, God remains faithful. That's good news for you and me. That we serve and we follow a good God. That he has mercy, that he has grace, that he has enduring faithfulness. That's really beyond anything that we deserve, but also beyond anything that we can even comprehend. I hope that we'll remember that. And then I hope that you and I will live a life that's marked with faithfulness. Not sporadically, from time to time, but like a real enduring faithfulness through all the ups and downs of life. Now, for those of you who are part of the small groups in the surrounding community, I hope that you have good, honest discussions, able to recognize what happens when you choose to trust in yourself rather than God, so that we can live lives in a real way out of greater faith, greater dependence on, and greater trust in God as the one who's really the only one who's worthy of trusting in. Thanks again for having me down on Sunday. It was nice to be with you all. God bless. Have a good evening.